From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN, and I am your host, Paul Metters. January 31st, the year of our Lord, 2026. Can you believe that? January's come and gone already. Feb 1 tomorrow. Excited to be here, as always, every Saturday from 10 to 12 at First String Sports. The place to be, as I like to call it, on Blackstone Avenue in between Herndon and Sierra. I do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room off to the right-hand side of the store. Just walk in through the double doors. Hang a right, and there I sit, talking about high school sports in the Central Valley. Love doing this. It is a ton of fun. We've got a huge lineup today. Absolutely huge, monstrous. Some heavyweights for sure in the boys' basketball landscape. Really excited to talk to some players and some coaches here. Again, let's talk a little bit more about First String Sports. Letterman's Jackets, as I mentioned, and it never fails. Every time I come in here around 9 o'clock when the store opens, they close at 5. People getting their Letterman's jackets all hooked up, configured, fixed up, embroidered, patches on. They'll design it however you want. They'll size you up. They'll do all that good stuff. They also got hats. You know, when you walk in the store, too, they got signs there and bucket of baseballs. Baseball season is going to be upon us really, really soon. What, $99.99 for a bucket of baseballs, and you get the bucket as well. So, hey, First String Sports, support local all the time. Please, please do. You can go back and listen to any part of any show here on 1430 ESPN, 1430ESPNFresno.com. Basically turned into podcasts. You can listen right there on the website. You can listen live as well. I actually went back a little bit and listened to our broadcast of the Bullard and San Joaquin Memorial game from Tuesday night, that Memorial won. Always a great atmosphere when those two schools get together. And Phil Benanti does a phenomenal job on the play-by-play. I try to keep up with him and chime in every once in a while. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun, first of all, to broadcast games. But the quality is good. I'm not just saying because it's 1430 ESPN, but the quality is really, really good. And I promise you guys, there is hardly anybody, any radio station in the state of California that does what we do. High school radio shows. Phil Benanti has his 1430 ESPN Student Athletes of the Week. We do a huge banquet. Commissioner Ryan Toss of the Central Section actually talked about that at the big dinner where we named our boys and girls athletes of the year. Got huge scholarships, iPads, all this cool stuff. Nobody does this in the state. All right? I don't like to, you know, toot my own horn, so to speak, but I just want people to know how awesome this is. What a cool opportunity. Want to thank a couple more sponsors. Thank to the foundation at FCOE. Thanks to Raw Farms and Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. Their weather report right now, beautiful 50 degrees, high of 67. Gorgeous. That fog, I think, is pretty much going away in the morning. It's been, as you guys know, the last couple weeks been pretty crazy, especially in the morning, but beautiful day today. Pasadena is going to be 80 degrees. Why am I mentioning Pasadena? Because after the show today, that's where I'm headed. It's a big baseball card show. Been saving up for the show for a couple months. Got a hotel, everything. My wife and one of my daughters is going. So headed to Pasadena after this. Checking out Old Town. It's been a while since I've been there. Researching restaurants. There's a lot of cool choices down there. So hopefully I'm coming back on Sunday with some new cards. Posted on my Instagram account. Some of those 86, 87 Fleer basketball cards that are iconic. And, you know, that's where the Jordan rookie is. Been collecting a few of those. One of these days, I might own a Jordan rookie. I don't yet. But anyway, excited about that. Also excited I got a new sponsor that I'm going to announce next week. Great partnership. That's going to be really fun. So I mentioned today's show, how I have a bunch of heavyweights. You know, last week's show was awesome. So I had Coach Tazel Archie of Hoover. Shared about his time at Pepperdine, you know, that great win in the March Madness in 2000 when his Pepperdine Waves took down Indiana, and that was Bob Knight's final game at Indiana. So Coach D's like, yeah, we always talk, you know, his boys still talk about that game and how we ushered out Bobby Knight. That was it. He was done after that. You had Dave Barnett on the show as well, played at Edison at Fresno State. He is an absolute basketball junkie, goes to a lot of basketball games, so he shared a lot of his stories. But today, we're kind of sticking with the here and now. So like I mentioned, huge heavyweight lineup with high school boys basketball here. Around 10:25, so after the first break here, Summit King Memorial, Brad Rovznosky's coming on, and Parker Spees as well. You know, Parker's 6'9", four-year varsity guy, headed to UC Irvine. I've known that kid literally since he was born. Friends with the family, and I remember Parker, you know, just watching him grow up and seeing him at an AAU tournament. I think he was maybe 11, 12 years old. And my daughter was playing in the tournament too there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Parker is like really, really good. And yeah, he is really good. So excited to hear his story, hear from Coach Roz as well. The top of hour number two, Garrett Brown. He's the head coach at Bakersfield Christian. Bakersfield Christian has really risen up the ranks in both football and basketball. You could even say baseball as well. But Coach Brown has been one of the main reasons because of that. His father, Keith, he's a longtime college basketball coach, coached here at Fresno State with Coach Hudson. They got a good squad. Great win last night. Beat Bakersfield on the road 53-50. Three-time Central Section champ. Always good to catch up with Garrett. It's been a few years since he's been on the show. They're ranked in the top six right now. They're number six on Max Preps due to some tiebreakers. They actually have a win against San Joaquin Memorial. If they're within three, they're going to be bumped ahead of them. So, I don't know. We'll try to sort that out in the next couple weeks. And believe it or not, the brackets are going to be coming out on the 11th of February. So, we'll know for sure about that. And then at the bottom of hour number two, Clovis North coach Tony Admonson's coming on, along with his son, McKay, who is a senior already. He just became the leading scorer in school history last week. Great win for them last night. It was a game I was at. Just absolutely demolished Clovis High, 80-57. You know, Clovis High is coming off of that upset win. I guess it's an upset over Buchanan earlier in the week. But, you know, Clovis North, what they do, they speed you up, they make you play faster, and I think they hit 14 threes in that game. McKay had 24 points in that one. So, yeah, like I said, fun lineup, man. You guys are going to hear some great stories, have some great insights from all those players and coaches. So I did mention the Clovis game at Clovis North. McKay had those 24 points. Eli Gish had 21, 6'7" lefty. He can score at will pretty much. When that dude gets downhill, he is really, really tough. Jaleel Montgomery had a really nice game, had 18 points total, 16 in the first half. Played really, really good. So Clovis North, nice win. They are now tied with Buchanan, first place in the track. And that's going to be a huge matchup, absolutely huge matchup next week when they get together. I went to Justin Garza at Hoover on Thursday. So last time they met, it was a game that we were able to broadcast. It was a tight game until the fourth quarter. And Hoover just put on an absolute blitz, outscored the Guardians 29-9. Well, this is a rematch of that one. And after the first half, it was 37-29. And actually, I think it was 39-27, something like that. Anyway, I thought, well, here we go again. You know, Hoover's imposing their will. It was senior night for them. But they kind of flipped the script, did the Guardians. They outscored the Pates 24-3 in that third quarter and ended up winning 61-53. They are now 17-7 on the season, 4-1 in the CMAC 2. Hoover's now 13-8, 4-2 in league. Huge win for Coach Ken Vossler and his team. Base D4. So we'll see where the Guardians land in the playoffs. Next week, no game. Speaking of broadcasting, we're not going to be broadcasting a game next week. Taking a week off, and that's because Phil Bonanni is going to be Radio Row at the Super Bowl. So he's got a huge lineup. Make sure you guys listen to his show Behind the Bench starting at 3 o'clock next week because he's going to be with the big boys. He's got a huge guest lineup, man. Yeah, I mean, just tons of NFL guys, media members, ex-49er players. It's going to be cool. Make sure you guys listen to that one. And then we're going to talk more about the week for San Joaquin Memorial Basketball, Tuesday's game that we broadcasted. Really good game. Excellent game. Memorial won, where's that final, 66-57. Then Memorial beat Sanger last night 80-60. In that Buller game, Parker absolutely filled the stat sheet. Had like 17 rebounds, 7 blocks, 15 points, a couple dunks. So good stuff, good stuff. Was able to catch those three games. Let me give a little girls basketball love here. Clovis with wins, with a win last night. They defeated Clovis North, Clovis West with the big win over Clovis East. So right now the standings are shaping up like this in track. Let me click on full standings here. So we got Clovis West at 6-1. This is the girls. Clovis High at 6-1. They're going to be meeting next Friday at Clovis West. That's a 5:30 game. So that's going to be a hot one. 5:30, Clovis at Clovis West. Central East, who has that win against Clovis West, is 5-2. Buchanan at 2-5, Clovis North at 2-5, and Clovis East at 0-7. Then remember, the following week, Clovis East is going to be playing at Clovis. So good stuff there. I also wanted to mention the CMAC girls' standings. Hats off to Bullard High. Bullard and Sanger actually tied atop the CMAC standings at 6-0. Now, for the girls, there's eight total, so there's no CMAC 1 or CMAC 2. But Bullard and Sanger looking strong at 6-0. Bullard is 16-6 on the season. You got Fresno High at 4-2. Torres at 3-2. Hoover's at 3-2. Roosevelt at 1-4. Edison at 1-5. And San Joaquin Memorial at 0-5 in League 3 and 15 overall. Wasn't that long ago that San Joaquin Memorial girls were in the state championship game. So a little bit of love for the girls' side. On the boys' side, a couple more minutes here before I hit the break and bring on Coach Roz and Parker. Look out for Hanford. Hanford's coming on strong. You know, watch them in the Clovis West Nike tournament. They're still kind of figuring some things out. A couple guys weren't eligible yet. Obviously, some really tough competition in that tournament. They've won 6 out of their last 7. They beat Tulare High in overtime this last week. Tulare's, that's their only third loss on the season. But yeah, Hanford seemed to be playing really good basketball. So just a little shout out to the Bull Pups. Keep an eye on them. Jensen Hirschkorn of Kingsburg High. Mentioned him plenty of times, numerous times on the show. One of the best athletes in the state of California. Headed to LSU on a baseball scholarship. Projected to be a high draft pick in the MLB amateur draft this year. He hit a milestone this last week that's pretty rare. I should email Bob Barnett about how many players in the central section have hit this mark. But he hit the 1,000-point mark. I mean, lots of guys have done that. That's a great benchmark. But he also hit the 1,000-rebound mark. So he's part of the 1,000-1,000 club. Also school leader in blocks and steals. But I thought that was cool, right? Part of the 1,000-1,000 club. And Tom Orlich, the head coach of Buchanan, you know, they had that loss to Clovis High. So they have that one loss in track right now. But he hit a milestone. He hit his 900th total coaching win when they beat Clovis North a couple weeks ago, 59-43. So that was his 900th career win. Remember, he spent a lot of time in South Lake Tahoe. Had 521 wins there in his 25 years coaching. 2 Nevada State titles, 9 regional titles, 16 conference titles. So 3 section championships when he was at Clovis West. Runner-up 7 times. Record of 381 and 131. That was before these games this week. So, yeah, congratulations to Coach Orlich and hitting that 900 win mark. That's a lot of high school wins, right? Just do the math. He's been coaching a long time. Great coach. All right, let's one more thing. Clovis High named their football coach. It's a guy that a lot of people in the know were, you know, figured he would get the job. But Brandon Nagel is taking over Clovis High. He's an alum of the school, coached at Clovis East when they made the section championship game a couple years ago. Stepped down. He's been around the Clovis program last year, but he's officially the dude. And they got a strong core coming back. Obviously, lost Deegan Rose, the quarterback. So Nagel is the guy. Buchanan, we're going to find out. That's probably going to be named next week. Not Buchanan, sorry. Actually, I gave away a little bit of a hint there. Clovis West is going to be naming their guy in pretty soon. So maybe by next week we'll know. We'll talk about that a little bit more. All right, we'll take a break here. We're going to bring on Coach Roz and Parker Spees on the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. Talking local sports here. I mentioned a lot of heavyweights coming on the show today. Real excited about it. We got a lot of the top basketball programs coming on, sharing their stories, talking basketball, and I got Coach Brad Rosnowski from San Joaquin Memorial and Parker Spees right now here live at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue. First of all, thank you guys for coming on this Saturday morning. Appreciate it as always, especially you, Brad. I know you're a busy guy too. You got a basketball team to coach. You got film to watch, but thanks for taking the time to come and talk some hoops.
Nah, we're excited. Thanks for having us.
Parker, what about for you? So we're just talking a little bit off air. Just all the stuff that's going on in your life. Senior year, right? Got a little basketball going on, obviously, but you got academic stuff. You got some another ceremony after this that you have to get to. So last night, talk about last night. Where you weren't hanging out with watching games, but you had something going on.
Yeah, I mean, I had a little campus ministry adoration thing that took about 4 hours, but you know, I do a lot of extracurriculars, and I think that's just a part of it, and I feel like I try to do my best to balance it all, but I'm just trying to take it all in. You know, sometimes it gets a little hectic, but I just take it one step at a time.
So exactly what did you do? 4 hours of what?
Just be there early. I'm part of the, you know, the preparation side of it, but being there for the actual ceremony, and then, you know, cleaning up and, you know, talking about reflecting with the team, and yeah, that's just an ongoing thing. I mean, we have a few of those things over some weekends, and you know, I do it with some teammates, but it's just a sacrifice, but it's something I wanted to do. I found intrinsic value in, and I'm going to keep doing it. I enjoy it.
Okay, so we're going to get into some GPA stuff in Irvine. You're already using words like intrinsic value, you know, the high-level stuff here, so Parker. So not only are you 6'9", could dunk a basketball and shoot, but you also have an incredible vocabulary. We've established that already. Brad, Saturdays for you, what do they look like? You know, C-Mac's different, right? You got the Tuesday, Thursday games. Saturday, Fridays, you can go check out a game and whatnot. So Saturdays, kind of reflect the time, relax a little bit, watch some film.
Yeah, I was talking to Tim Amundson about this a couple weeks ago. We were at a Friday night game, and yeah, Tuesday, Thursdays are tough. We will practice Friday, but Saturdays, you know, we got guys like this weekend. We got some guys. We're fighting the flu with three or four guys, so we're gonna do an optional shooting workout today, and then get after it on Monday. So makes it tough the Tuesday, Thursday, but we try to make the most of it.
Big week of basketball, right? So you had the Buller game on Tuesday, the Sanger game on Thursday. Sanger game was a home game, right?
Sanger was home Thursday,
okay.
Yep.
Let's talk about what worked really well this week for you guys. Let's start with the fresh game, Thursday's game, Brad, against Sanger. You guys were able to win 80-60. What'd you like about that game?
Yeah, I mean, the first half they came out and did some things we just weren't prepared for. Did some trap and some stuff, kind of something they usually don't do, and kind of got out of our game a little bit. We're up four at half, you know, and somebody asked me, we scored 53 points in the second half. Somebody said, what'd you say at halftime? I said, I didn't really say anything. We just made a minor adjustment to our press break, scored 53 points in the second half. I think we had like 14 assists in the second half. The ball was flinging. So, yeah, it just, you know, 32-minute game. We didn't play great the first 16, but played really well the last 16.
Parker, atmosphere at San Joaquin Memorial, always wild. Right, like, yeah. What are home games like for you?
It's great. I mean, you know, it's really easy to pack out that gym, which is super nice, but, you know, we're always going to get a crowd. And, you know, props to our students, the student section. It's been getting going this year. But, yeah, it's super good to play in that gym. I'm always thankful for every time I can.
Let's go to the Tuesday game, the rivalry game, the Bullard game. Tight game, right? All the way through until the fourth quarter. You guys opened it up a bit. First half, Brad, you know, Bullard, you know, like they usually do in these types of games, they come out fired up. They played really well. I think 18-13, if I'm not mistaken, you guys were down, right? Parker hits a big three at the buzzer to make it a 36-35 game. What are some good takeaways from that game? What'd you tell the team afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, it's always, Paul, as you know, you've been to a lot of those games. You broadcast a lot of them. And I told you on the broadcast after the game, you kind of throw out the records. It's just, you know, the kids all know each other. Student section is frenzy. And, you know, we weren't great in the first half. I think the key thing was Ty's three and Parker's three to end the first half. Javan's such a great player. I thought we did a pretty good job in the second half against him. I think they only scored 19, 20 points the second half as a team. So that was kind of the difference. Yeah, you'd like to play a little better, but to get out of there with the win is always big.
It always is, yeah. Parker mentioned your huge game in the opener. So I got the official stats right here. 15 points, 16 rebounds, 7 blocks. I guess my first question is, why can't you get 3 more blocks to get that triple-double?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I know.
So you feel like, you know, just watching your games this year, just checking the scoring, you know, on social media, you know, scoring is not a huge priority for you, right? Like you're just a total team player. You're like, hey, if I got to grab a rebound, if I got to play good defense, that's my job. When I find myself open, you know, I'm going to shoot a shot. I'm not going to force a lot. Is that kind of like your feeling coming into this year, right? Just play winning basketball, do whatever the team needs.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I want to win. You know, that's what I'm being recruited for. I'm being recruited into a program full of winners. And so whatever I got to do, whether that's, you know, in a game like this, 16 rebounds and 7 blocks, be it just a crazy defensive presence, or some days it is minus to score a lot. And so, you know, I just take the matchup how it is and be effective every way I can. That's my adjustment is, you know, I take a big role in that.
Talk about that three to hit the half. You find yourself open at the top of the key. I think there was maybe a high ball screen, if I'm not mistaken. And, all right, set screen, boom, roll, and then hit the three. Just kind of what was going through your mind is just a natural reaction or like, oh, man, I need to take the
shot
now?
I mean, it was just a read. You know, I knew how to get myself going and assert myself, but it was a flare screen for Ty, and, you know, they went under it, and so I just stepped into it confidently, and, you know, I need to keep doing more of that for sure.
Have you shot a lot of threes this year?
You know, not as much.
I don't think compared to the last couple of years.
Yeah, not as much. I would say that's definitely, like, for me, something I need to work on for sure, you know, developing that back. And I know I can. I know I have before. But, you know, even when that's not going, I need to find other ways to be effective. And so I'm trying to make an impact in every way I can and, you know, really display my versatility.
I'm curious about the way you block shots. So I've seen you do it many ways. I've seen you just send it into the stands, right? I've seen you block it and keep it in bounds. I think you've done a really good job the last couple years, Parker, is staying on your feet, right? Obviously, you got a long wingspan, but the timing, right? A lot of guys try to pump fake, right?
Yep.
against you, but you're staying on your feet a lot. Just kind of walk me through your mentality defensively and why you're able to do that and not get in foul trouble.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, a big thing is timing. Especially, you know, I've been a role model I look up to is someone from UC Irvine, actually, Kyle Evans, watching this year. He's on the Naismith Defensive Player of the Year watch list for, you know, defense. And I watched him last night or a few nights ago, and he had like 7 blocks against the second best team in the Big West. And so his timing is immaculate, and it's something I try to look up to. But, you know, I know that I'm long. I know I can alter shots even by just being there. And so I don't really need to do anything uncharacteristic. And usually by just staying in front. And, you know, it's nice that I'm able to be able to guard guards that, you know, they're not going to completely get by me. I'm quick enough to stay in front. And as long as I put my hands up, I know that good things will happen. So even if it doesn't result in a block, I know that usually the best good things happen out of it. So
altering shots, that's a big deal, right? There's no there might be a staff for that. There's probably like a next level staff or something like that, but yeah, altering shots and creating havoc on the defensive end certainly is one of your strengths. Brad, let's talk a little bit more about Parker. 4-year kid, GPA is out of sight, right? You know, you saw him come in as a freshman. You're like, oh, man, who's this? What, were you 6'4", 6'5", already a freshman? You're just a tall drink of water coming in. Obviously a great team. The year you guys won state was your freshman year. How have you just seen Parker grow as a person, as a player, and just a testament to who he is?
Yeah, I got to go back a few years. First time I met him, I used to play basketball 5 a.m. at Buchanan. And it was a run we had for 2-3 years and kind of where I met Franklin. Franklin would play too, and I always loved having Franklin on my team because he was kind of that gritty guy. He'd do all the dirty work, and I could sit behind the line and just shoot, you know. So he'd bring Parker out. Parker was like fifth grade maybe, sixth grade. Parker probably weighed about 40 pounds, you know. But to see a kid come out at 5 in the morning and get some shots up, I was like, maybe this kid's going to be something. So that was my first time I met Parker and Franklin, and obviously – you know, Frank and Lisa, and it starts at home with Parker. What great people. And I always say colleges, they're recruiting parents too. They really are. There's a lot of truth to that. And Franklin and Lisa, great. They've done a great job with Parker. So trusting San Joaquin Memorial, the academic side, the basketball side, we can't thank them enough. But what this kid has grown. Didn't play much as freshman year. I know he's frustrated. And, you know, got a little hurt his sophomore year, was out about 5 weeks, scores 26, 27 points at Crypto Arena against St. Bernard, had like 6 threes. And so obviously been healthy for the most part the last couple of years. So he has grown. I know as a freshman, I wasn't sure. I think he'd probably be a college kid. I didn't think he'd be where he's at now, but it just attests to the time he put in and the work he's put in. But, I mean, I'm going to miss this kid. I can't believe the senior year is flying by, but on and off the court, he's as best as they come.
You don't have to worry about him at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, Parker's an amazing kid. Like, he's going to take care of classrooms. He's going to take care of friendships, surrounding himself with good people.
Yeah.
That's a coach's dream.
Absolutely.
Right.
And, you know, I'll talk about the other senior real quick, Sajan. Him, too, obviously, on and off the court, great kids. And I know they're great friends. And I'm going to miss both of them. But, yeah, you can't ask for better kids on and off the court.
Let's talk about the chemistry this year with this year's team. Many things I appreciate about your program, Brad, is, you know, we're going to do that that game against Bakersfield where Jalen was coming in, and it was going to be a huge ceremony, and we're going to broadcast the game. And I went to practice before. I don't think I've ever actually been to one of your practices, and showed up, kind of went through the side door and watched you guys practice, and you said, hey, they're going to broadcast the game. That's a cool deal. Go introduce yourself and go say hi to Paul. So I thought that was a cool deal, right? Made me feel real welcome with the team. But you mentioned then that the chemistry, right? Just great kids this year. Let's go with you, Parker. Just the chemistry that you guys have. You mentioned Sajan, fellow senior as well. Mm-hmm. Seems like you guys absolutely know your roles, not only on the court, but you guys are friends off the court. So how fun has it been? And talk about the chemistry.
Yeah, it's been super fun. And, you know, on the basketball side, I would say when you put this team together and, you know, we're all playing the way we should be, like, I'd put us up against anyone in the state, you know. And we've seen that before. We played some national powerhouses in the summer. And so, you know, I wouldn't say that we've, you know, played a perfect game this season yet. But, you know, come playoff time, I'm really excited to see where this team goes because I know we have it in us.
All right, chemistry-wise, on the court, you guys have a sixth sense with each other? Like, hey, Sajan's on a heater right now. Like, find him the ball, set a screen. I know Ty's going to be in this spot. If you know, get into the post and kick out to him. Is that kind of
the thinking? Yeah, we've been able to get a pretty good feel for each other. You know, the most recent one today is, you know, me being close to 1,000 in the last game. And, you know, I didn't even really have to say much, but I could tell some of the teammates were – trying to find me. So that was great to know they're looking to have my back like that.
Was that the Sanger game?
Yeah, it was the Sanger game.
What was the bucket?
It was a dunk,
one?
Actually.
It was a dunk.
Yeah. Was it the baseline one?
It was off a Sajan pass,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
They got him his 1,000th. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
And you knew right then that was your 1,000th.
I did know, yep.
Is there a ball?
I got the ball. I'm going to get and Sajan did his a couple weeks ago, so we're going to we honored him. We honored Parker Thursday night, but we'll write some stuff on the ball, and he'll have that forever.
That's awesome. I want to talk to you, Parker, a little bit more. So Coach mentioned that your freshman year, the state championship run, you know, you got to wait your turn, right? And that's hard for a lot of kids. Just what was your mindset back then? Did you take it like, oh, I gotta work on some stuff. I want to play to this level by my junior or senior year. Like, what basically was going through your mind during
that
time?
Yeah, I mean, it was an eye-opening experience for sure. I mean, regardless of, you know, how much an impact I made, I was along for the ride, and I was able to see, you know, the run we made, and that was, it was special to be a part of. And I knew that I wanted to contribute to that and lead the charge and something like that. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing how I can really do that this year.
The ring? You got a ring from that year?
I did get a ring from that.
Where's that ring at?
It's at my house. Just, you know, it's been on my bedside.
what was the coolest moment during that state run, playing in Sacramento? Maybe after the game, you know, before the game, was there some wow moment for you?
Yeah, I mean, I would say just the actual state championship game and the drive home, and just, you know, being able to celebrate with some teammates. That was the best part. It was an unforgettable experience for sure.
Committed to UC Irvine. It was kind of fun because I think that was Thursday, right? It was after your game, the Sanger game. I was making sure that we were all good to have the show, and they're playing Hawaii. That game was on late. I think it ended at like 10:38 and went into overtime. It was good to watch that level of basketball. Just talk about the recruiting process and why you eventually chose Irvine.
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, fortunate enough to – my recruitment wasn't always, you know, at a good pace, especially before summer. But, you know, I was, you know, blessed enough to be put in some good spots, you know, with high school and then going through to AAU. And so coaches followed me throughout the summer, and they, you know, I was able to schedule 5 visits. And, you know, honestly, I wasn't sure, you know, going through the first 4. But as soon as I, you know, went on the Irvine visit, I knew that this was the one. And I'm very thankful it turned out like that. But I just knew that, you know, they recruited me for the player I was and the player they knew who I could become. And I'm super happy to step in that role because I know I'm going to make some great strides there.
That was your 5th visit?
It was my 5th visit.
5th and final visit?
5th and final.
What does that look like for you? So it's an official visit. You and your family arrive there. You meet the coaches. You take a tour. They give you a big pitch. They take you onto the court and say, this is what we see you becoming, or look what you're look what you can play in front of.
Yeah, I mean, they take you out to dinners. They treat you well. You know, but at the end of the day, they want you to make you feel at home. You know, I went at Irvine. I went bowling with the team, you know, without the coaches on my visit. So they really want you to make, you know, feel that cohesiveness that they have in the team. And it's pretty evident when you see it, you know, how the players interact with each other. And I knew that it was something special at Irvine.
Are you a good bowler, or are you horrible?
I'm all right. I mean,
at least get over 100.
Oh, yeah, I'll get over
100. He's pretty good, Paul. He's pretty good.
Really?
Bowler. Yes.
You put a little spin on it?
I do put a little spin on it. I mean, I don't know about my technique, but it gets there.
You're 6'9", right? So, yeah. Brad, when college coaches would contact you and talk to you, what would you tell them about Parker?
You know, they were calling me. Obviously, they knew what kind of basketball player he was. So I would always start with, you know, I mentioned earlier, started at home, raised right by his parents, great young man in the community, on campus, loved by his peers, loved by his teachers. He's in so many different extracurricular activities on, you know, and then we'd eventually talk about basketball. They knew he was already good. So, yeah, I kind of sold that first. And obviously his basketball skills, I mean, 6'9", what he can do, what he can do for us defensively, what he can do for us, you know, on the perimeter, shooting the ball. Super skilled. And yeah, Coach Turner, Coach Smith, UC Irvine, they're salivating. They text me every week, see how he's doing. And they've done a great job with his type of you know,
absolutely.
Play. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'll share this. I had somebody very known in the community at our bowler game and text me after the game and said, Spee's going to be a pro, you know, and a guy that knows basketball. And, you know, I think he's got a really good chance to play somewhere professionally making money. That good.
Is that a goal for you? When did that – are you hearing that for the first time from Coach?
I didn't hear that yet. That's the first time.
I mean, what are your reactions to that?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's an honor to be able to hear something like that. I mean, basketball is not the end-all be-all for me. You know, I know that I'm going to be an impact, you know, one way or another. But, you know, I love this game, and I'm going to take it as far as it's going to go. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. You know, there's still a lot of basketball ahead of me, still a lot of decisions to be made. But, yeah, I mean, I couldn't be happier for the future.
That's awesome. All right, so studies. Major wise, you got what are you looking to study at Irvine?
I'm looking to study business, and you know they've got a competitive business program. I'm still looking to see how that pans out with the applications, but I should be in the clear. You know they made it very firm that I was a strong candidate before I even applied. And yeah, I don't know exactly where I'm going to branch out with that. There's a lot of ways you can go, but yeah, I'm excited for it.
That's cool. Let's go back. We got about 10 minutes with Coach Roz and Parker Spees. Let's go back to, you know, Coach mentioned he watched you shoot the basketball at, what, fifth grade or so, maybe 10 years old, shooting it up a little bit. Did you play other sports growing up? Did you play probably, you know, the little amoeba soccer, as I call it, when you're 5 years old and everyone's just kind of clumped together and the ball eventually makes it out somewhere? Like, did you have those types of experiences?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I played soccer, baseball. I played travel baseball for a little bit. But I would say my main secondary sport was volleyball. I played, you know, my dad played in college. I played club volleyball till about eighth grade. You know, of course, Memorial didn't have volleyball at the time when I transferred. I mean, I really enjoyed it. It was a sacrifice I had to make, you know, in order to pursue my primary love, which is basketball. And, you know, I'm happy that it turned out the way it did.
When did you really take basketball serious? Like, okay, you mentioned you play volleyball. You had to make some sacrifices, make some choices. But when did you, like, man, I'm going to go all in on this basketball thing?
Yeah, I mean, I want to say, like, fifth grade is when probably I started, you know, being really serious about club on top of school ball, which of course, you know, elementary school ball is not that important at the time, but just traveling like almost every weekend, is that I started to do that at a really young age, and I just knew that I wanted to be the best I could. And so that stuck with me for a long time. And, I'm super grateful.
Do you remember a time when basketball became hard? Like, guys were really going after you, like, man, this is like maybe your sophomore year or last year, like guys were really coming out. I know you played on the AAU circuit. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you played against a bunch of dudes, right? But you remember, like, oh, man, all right, I got to get a little tougher. I don't know. I don't know how to frame it exactly, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I would say freshman year for sure. Like, just, you know, having to, you know, develop physically and mentally just into the high school atmosphere. But on the basketball court, you know, I had a lot of strides to make, and I wasn't fully there yet. And but it just – I'm grateful for that experience because it really opened my eyes to, you know, just – the amount of work I still need to put in. And, you know, I was humbled by it, and, you know, it was part of my journey, and I take that in stride.
I like specific moments. All right, so you just said humbled. I was humbled by it. Was there a specific moment you're like, oh, man, that guy just dunked it, whatever. Like, I didn't get around on the screen quick enough. This guy just rebounded it over me. Is there a moment you can point out that, like, gosh, okay, I got to go next level here?
Yeah, I mean, I would say just – After the state championship, looking back on the season, I was just like, you know, it was a lot of emotions, and I was, you know, super happy with how our team did. But I was like, I really want to just be a part of this. I knew that, you know, that summer going on, I just said, I have to do more. I have to do more. And so.
And now you got a scholarship to UC Irvine, and you got a lot more basketball left in you. Do you remember the first time you dunked?
I do. It was eighth grade going into freshman year. Over that summer, it was like during a team practice, maybe like a water break or something, and I just did like a little self lob bounce and barely got it in, and I just would not shut up about it for the rest of the day.
Yeah. Was it clean?
It was clean.
All right.
I didn't get it on camera, but I still remember that day.
Brad, what about for you? When's your first dunk?
He's going to laugh at this. That was a Nelson legend back in the day, Paul. You know,
all right.
Fruit and Herndon.
Yeah.
Wake up Saturday mornings, play for years, 9-foot hoop, though, Paul. So you didn't really specifically say size of hoop, but I used to do it as a 9-footer, but that's about it.
Did you lob it to yourself and throw it down, or do you have big enough hands that you can palm it and put it down, or what?
I think it was just the one-handed one.
Yeah. Yeah,
didn't do anything more than that.
All right, let's talk about this year's Memorial team a little bit farther. Mentioned the chemistry lights out. Got two really good seniors that you rely on. You guys feel like right now you're playing your best basketball heading into the final stretch and then the playoffs, Brad?
Yeah, we talk about it every day in practice and after games. We're playing really good right now, but Paul, we all know in this section you got to be great to beat St. Joe's. And, you know, we went down there a couple weeks ago, battled, lost a tough one. Not in the moral victories. We went down there to win a game. We didn't get it done. So part of the reason why I scheduled that game is if we got to go back there. I don't think we're great right now. I don't think we're good enough to beat them right now. So we got to figure some things out and get a little better in the next couple weeks.
Parker, what about for you? How do you feel you guys are playing senior year? Obviously, you want to go all the way, make it to Selinger, win a Central Section Championship. Like, what do you guys, or what do you think you guys have to do really well, you know, to reach the pinnacle?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you know, we went down to St. Joe's and we, I would say we, you know, we played a pretty solid game for the most part, but not our best game. And, you know, I'm really optimistic about our future because I know that we can do it, you know. So, and the fact that we have a chance to go back there is, you know, a great feeling for me. So I would say really just, we just got to put a lot of stuff together, but, you know, trusting each other even more. As much as I think we can trust each other, we just got to take a step further. I mean, I don't want to settle for anything this year. I know we're solid right now, but I don't want to leave anything on the table. I know that we can. I want to see us win a Valley Championship. I want to have a ring. You know, that's a dream of mine for the Central Section, and then carry on and see what happens. But right now, I'm just really focused on that.
Brad, how much do you study those Max Preps things? I don't think those have even updated this morning. I was clicking refresh before the show. I was like, come on, man. I want to see these things updated. How much do you follow that, and how much do you
too
predict?
Much.
Okay.
They don't come out to Monday morning, FYI, right. So because of Saturday games. But, yeah, it's the CIF really relies on it. And, you know, right now we're in that three, just a little ahead of North. I know the loss to Bakersfield Christian could affect us. You know, if we stay at three at the end of the season – you know, North 4, do they jump Baco over both of us? Do they, you know, there's a lot of questions. All we can do right now, Paul, is go 4-0. You know, we got a tough one next Saturday, Lincoln to Stockton, which will be tough over there. So, you know, we kind of just handle what we can do and then let the chips fall.
So Lincoln of Stockton next Saturday?
Yeah, it's a showcase. You know, we're not, you know, disregarding Roosevelt and Hoover this week, but then we'll go in a showcase. NorCal Sports will do the game and be a tough one. Good challenge for us.
Okay, so looks like at Roosevelt, home against Hoover, and that's – was the Lincoln game against? All right.
Next Saturday.
It? Where?
In Stockton.
In Stockton. Okay,
yes.
And then at Sunnyside mm-hmm. to finish the year. And then the announcement for playoff seedings on the 11th. So
yep.
Coming up quick, man.
Yeah.
Coming up quick.
Yep.
Parker, just explain just kind of your whole experience at Memorial. You mentioned your service yesterday. You got something going on after the show as well. Just what does San Joaquin Memorial and the entire experience you've had meant to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a great blessing. You know, it wasn't, to be honest with you, it wasn't the what I had in mind, you know, going into before high school. But, you know, I'm happy that I did it, and it's paid me dividends, you know, on and off the court. You know, I've made some great connections, some great friendships that last a lifetime. And for basketball, you know, it's given me the platform to be the best player I can be. I've been put on the highest stages, and, you know, I'm thankful for that.
Your favorite NBA basketball player, favorite player of all time is who?
I mean, I'm a Warriors fan, so I got to say Steph. But, you know, I guess today's game, maybe someone that I'd model after, like a Cooper Flagg, you know, someone that is super versatile and someone that can, like I said, impact the game in so many different ways. So it's really fun to watch someone like that.
49 points the other day. 29. Are you kidding me? 20 of 29 from the field. Mm-hmm. What a day for him. Who's like the coolest guy that you've met? Have you met some? I mean, you mentioned going bowling with the current UC Irvine
yeah.
players, right? That's cool. But has there been an NBA guy or maybe a famous coach or somebody in the game that you've met that's been really cool?
I don't know if I have anyone that I'm thinking of right away, but
well, did you get to meet Jalen?
I did get to meet
well,
Jalen. I mean, that was really cool. But you know. Yeah, it was nice to meet him.
That was cool. Brad, just talk about just the team again as a whole and Parker again and what he's meant not only academically and spiritually but to the basketball program.
Yeah, it's just a blessing to have him for 4 years. So thankful that they made the decision and to come here and going to miss him, man. Just, you know, talking about it is tough, but, yeah, he's just – offensively, defensively, he changes games, especially defensively. He can change a game with his size, and he's so versatile, 6'9", shooting it and all that. But more than that, great teammate. Kids love him. He's just well-liked on campus with his peers and his teachers.
Awesome. Hey, Parker, it's been a pleasure. It's finally worked out for you to come on the show. I said, this has been 4 years in the making. Right? I waited 4 years for this moment to you come on and share your story. You know, I mentioned, you know, you went to church for a while together, and you know, my daughter and you are fairly similar in age, and you don't see you as a little guy. Grew up to here, and like, oh, Parker's going to San Joaquin Memorial. He's 6'5", and here we are. So it's been a pleasure. It's been fun watching you grow as a person, as a basketball player. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And go Panthers next week, right?
Yeah, Paul, can I say something real quick? I want to thank you, obviously. I've never met your wife and your daughters, but obviously they allow you to do what you love. I was watching film this week, some games, and there you are in the stands. You broadcast games. You were there last night. I've seen you in the stands at games watching film. So, you know, the Valley, if the CIF was smart, Ryan's a smart guy. I'd throw you on that committee because you know these teams as well as anybody. So I appreciate your time, not just to our program, but for high school sports.
I thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Right? High school sports is supposed to be fun.
It's great.
Right? It's supposed to be fun, and it is. So thank you, guys. Appreciate it. We're going to take a break, and we're going to bring on Garrett Brown, the head coach of Bakersfield Christian High School, on the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN.
From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Absolutely love that intro. It's a new intro this year. Thanks to Daft Punk for that song. I don't know if we're paying royalties on that. I doubt it. But, yeah, cool intro. Pumps me up every time I hear that. I mentioned today's show is an absolute banger. Got three of the top boys basketball programs represented today in the Central section. If you missed any part of the episode so far, just had Coach Rozowski and Parker Spies from San Joaquin Memorial on the show. You can go back to 1430ESPNFresno.com. Boom. It's right there. All the recordings of the games that we broadcasted are there as well. Yeah, it's just good stuff, right? Good stuff here. Love shining a light on all the great basketball teams, football teams, whatever season we are in right now. Got Coach Garrett Brown from Bakersfield Christian on the line right now, taking the time to talk to us about his team, what he sees in the landscape down in Bakersfield. He's a lifetime baller as well. We're going to hear some of his great stories growing up playing basketball. The Eagles are 16-10 right now. Defeated Bakersfield last night. It's a game that I was following online. I haven't seen any clips yet, Ben, but I heard it was an absolute grind of a game. They came away with a 53-50 win. They are a three-time Central Section champion program as well. So, Garrett, it's been a long time, man. Good to hear from you. Good to see you the other day as well. How you doing this morning?
Hello.
Hey, Garrett, you got me?
Yeah, I got you. You hear me?
Yeah, we got you good. Hey, okay.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate you. We're doing well, and on to the next one.
On to the next one, as all the teams are in the Central Valley. And, just had that great conversation with Coach Ross. First of all, he says I owe you one because you guys got him earlier in the year and in that great game. But what are Saturdays look like for you, especially coming off of a big win last night, a rivalry game? Are you able to sleep in, or is your brain just going a million miles an hour? You can't wait to watch the film. What do you like to do on a Saturday?
Well, first of all, if he owes me one, I owe him three more, because I was 0-4 before we beat him this year. So I'm going to tell you, like I told him, I had to beat him once before he retires. So, it was – but, yeah, no, nothing but respect for Ross. But Saturdays for me is usually kids' sports. I have four kids, 10, 12, 14, and 17. So I'm usually up running around, running them to all their different sporting events. So there's not a lot of sleeping in, on the go, just trying to help my kids get a chance to play, high school at a high level, and then hopefully get to college on scholarship. I think that's the goal when you have children in sports. So
absolutely.
That's what my weekends look like. I got a soccer player, softball, and basketball.
Oh, well-rounded. The Brown family, well-rounded in their athletics.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So,
rivalry game last night, Bakersfield. I'm sure it's a game that you've had circled for a while. Just talk about the game plan that you guys had and how you executed on the court last night.
When we play against teams that are very comfortable in transition and want to push the pace and play at a high tempo and score in the 70s and 80s and stuff like that, we like to try to slow them down as much as possible. you know, we have a bunch of different defenses that we like to run and play with. And we've used a lot of different defenses throughout the 7 years that I've been at Bakersfield Christian. So it's what we pride ourselves on, being able to stop people. So when we play teams like that, we want to try to slow them down and get them to play in the half court and make them use their brains a little bit to, you know, function and figure things out, right, and see where their IQ is at. Because, you know, a lot of teams that want to play up and down and do all those things are just very comfortable and very free when they don't have to think, and they're just out there running around, trapping everything and playing fast. You know, so we like to try to take that away from teams that do that.
And the grind of the game last night, I was following the best I could. Seemed like the flow, right? I mean, it was never – well, I mean, what was the biggest spread in the game? Were you guys leading the whole way? What did that look like?
Yeah, we never – they never led. We had a 9-point lead in the early in the second quarter, and I think we had another 8-point lead in the second quarter, maybe 7 in the third. And then it was pretty close the whole game, you know. They played really well. They made plays when they needed to. They do some things. You know, we obviously know each other. We play in the fall. We play in the summer. Play against each other all the time. So, you know, there's not anything anyone's going to do that's going to be surprising. You know, they grinded it out with us. It was a defensive game. And you know, when we're able to fly around in our zone and keep our principles with what we want to do and try to funnel guys to make tough twos over our 6'9" guy in the middle, it makes it pretty tough for teams to get into a rhythm. And so felt like our guys did a really good job last night with that.
For those that haven't watched you guys play yet this year, I know you guys came for that Bullard game. Just give us a snapshot of your team. What's your personnel look like? You got a good mix of seniors and underclassmen as well. What's a good look for your team?
We return everyone next year. We have one senior that plays. Everyone else is returning, so we're junior heavy, and then we have a couple sophomores that play a lot for us. Feel like we have a good mix of everything this year. We've had really good lead guards in the past, and you know, Seth Marantos, Jackson Tucker, Eric Cheney, Bentley Waller, Dave Gutierrez, right? We don't have that dominant lead guard, but we feel like we have two really good capable guards that can handle it if they're on the floor together, and Caden Jackson and Braylon Smith. And, you know, we had about seven games without Braylon due to injury, and it was very apparent that we missed him on the floor, helping the ball handling duties and getting us into our offense. And then we have a good mix of guys that can shoot the basketball. And then, you know, we have good wings. You know, we're Owen and Jeremiah are 6'5", so you add them to the outside of the zone, and then you have Ty Wu in the middle at 6'9". You know, it makes it difficult for teams to try to solve that. So, but we also, I mean, we played strictly man against San Joaquin Memorial. You know, we played man this year and won some good games, and we played zone this year and won some good games too. So I feel like we're able to win in a bunch of different ways. We can do different things. You know, so I feel like when you have a team like that, they can win in a multitude of different ways and have different leading scorers on any given night. Usually those teams are pretty successful.
Yeah, in the Bullard game that I was able to watch you guys, you played pretty much exclusively 2-3 zone, and sit your big guy there in the middle is able to distract a lot of shots. So that's kind of right. It's kind of what you and your staff, your MO is, just go with what you think is going to work in that particular game, right?
For sure. Yeah. No, we'll game plan for each game individually, right? We're not just going to do the same thing every game, no matter what. We run a 1-1-3 matchup that kind of, sometimes it can look like a 2-3, sometimes it can look like a 1-3-1. But if we're flying around and stunting at guys and making guys take out of rhythm shots, then that's when you know that they're really locked in on what we're trying to do. We can make adjustments in game if it's not working. We have a bunch of different defenses that we can switch to, and you know, try, there's been times this year where not one defense is working. So, you know, we're a work in progress, and we're just trying to keep getting better every day. I know that's coach speak, but it's just the truth. You know, we're just trying to get better, and the goal is to win games in February and March every year. And we've had some success in February and March in my tenure, so we're just trying to keep that up.
Talking with Garrett Brown, the head basketball coach at Bakersfield Christian. All right, so you mentioned trying to get better and different looks and your schedule, man. When this schedule came out, I looked at it for you guys. I'm like, oh, you're playing heavyweights. I know you love competition and you love, you know, iron sharpening iron. But let me just let the people out there know the schedule that you guys have played. So you played at Centennial to open up the year. You played Santa Margarita, Crespi, Weston Ranch, Vanden, Harvard, Westlake. Yeah, those guys have won a few games over the last couple of years. Sheldon, Loyola, Memorial, the win against Memorial. Just talk about your mentality behind that, playing that loaded schedule, especially those SoCal teams.
Well, we had some success this summer at Section 7 and Cali Live. And so I against some really good teams. And so I wanted to challenge us. I feel like I challenge us every year with our early season schedule. This was by far the most challenging. It's not really close. We played three nationally ranked teams. We've had 10 opponents that are ranked inside the top 35 on MaxPress in the state of California. So I did us no favors. I tell everybody, I'm not scared, but I might be stupid. So, but I feel like, you know, we're battle tested every year when we get to February and March, and we have success because there's nothing that they're going to see in February and March that is foreign to them. They've been in these battles with these high level teams. And now when they get to these playoffs, they're like, man, we've already seen better than this. Right. And I think we'll have played about 6 to 8 of the Southern Section Open teams this year. That's the best division in the country. We're battle tested. We played really good teams. We played against some really good coaches. Because our league is not very good top to bottom. We've lost 4 strength of schedule points since we've been back at the Bakersfield and playing our league. So that's also a reason why I try to schedule as hard as I can early.
Are you like Coach Roz, where you're constantly studying the Max Preps rankings? You just mentioned you've lost points, actually, in the strength of schedule. Right now you guys are sitting at number 6, St. Joseph 1, Buchanan 2, Memorial 3, Clovis North 4, Clovis 5, which I believe is going to be a D2 team this year. And then you guys, you just kind of look at that, you're like, oh, man. Like, how do you frame checking out that Max Prep stuff?
I look at it, but, you know, we just got to try to control what we can control. I feel like the St. Joe's is going to be 1. I feel like the track winner should be 2, and then we should be 3. Just with our head-to-head win against Memorial, we'll have the tiebreaker there, and then Clovis will be a Division II team. So those are my thoughts. Hopefully they don't put I feel like if we're an undefeated league champion with 0 losses in our section, with a 15-point win over Memorial and a 16-point win over Bullard, I feel like our resume is enough to get us a 3 seed.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Obviously, the Buchanan and Clovis North game is going to be huge next Friday. So a lot of eyeballs on that game. Again, talking with Coach Garrett Brown, the head coach at Bakersfield Christian. Let's go in the Wayback Machine. And your dad, Keith, longtime college basketball coach, Coach Hutt at Fresno State. You've been around a lot of basketball growing up around the game, rubbed elbows with a lot of dudes, probably shot on a lot of different courts as well. Like, what are some cool memories that you have growing up and, seeing the different dudes around the game of basketball?
Probably one of my fondest memories was when he was an assistant at the University of Washington, and they hosted Arizona. They were the number 3 team in the country at the time. They had Damon Stoudemire, Khalid Reeves, Sean Rooks. They were loaded, and a guy by the name of Richard Manning, who is actually an assistant at Sheldon now, hit a baseline jump shot to beat Arizona at home. And Mark Pope, who was also Pac-10 Freshman of the Year that year for Washington, who's now the head coach at the University of Kentucky. And then that year when he was at Washington, Jason Kidd was at Cal, Gary Payton was at Oregon State, Harold Miner, Baby Jordan, was at USC. Getting to meet Harold Miner and going to the USC locker room and get his autograph and do all those types of things. You know, I've had amazing experiences just being a coach's son, you know, and it's been fun trying to give that back to my own son. My son's gotten a lot of opportunities to shoot in a lot of different gyms also. We just recently went to Minnesota to watch Ben Jurosik, my former player, play tight end for the Minnesota Vikings. We were back in the family room and on the field, and then we got all access to the Minnesota Timberwolves because Taiwu's AAU coach is a trainer for Jaden McDaniels and Naz Reid. So we were back there, and he got to meet Anthony Edwards and Russell Westbrook. And so, you know, just like I had a conversation with my guys. You know, you try to find different ways to motivate them along the way, and just told them, like, the other day, you know, it's amazing what this basketball has done for my life. You know, and if you treat it the right way and respect it and go to work every day and cherish the times that you do get to be around the game, that orange leather ball can take you a lot of places you never even dreamed of. So, you know, just treat it the right way and it'll take care of you.
That's fantastic. And you giving back to your own family in the ways that your dad gave back to you. That, man, that's amazing. All those names that you just mentioned, Stoudemire, Rooks, and, you know, Harold Miner. I remember Harold Miner, he was the one that when you shoot a free throw, he'd like go around his back and between his legs for his free throws, right?
And then he would smell the ball at him. Yep.
Yeah, lefty, yep. Baby Jordan. Good stuff. Can you still shoot it? You still got the stroke. Shooters never lose it, right?
I'm the best shooter in every gym I walk in.
There you go.
So that's never a question. Now, if you make me move, now my percentage drops drastically. But if I just if I could just stand there and shoot, then I'm still the best shooter in every gym I walk in. So
it's lights out. I know. It's the moving part when we get up there in age, right?
Yeah, for sure. God. For sure. But my son's getting close. My son's getting close. He's an eighth grader. He'll be a freshman for me next year, and he shoots it too. So, but he still can't beat me at a shooting contest. But he's getting close.
Not yet. How about size wise? Has he passed you up yet? I mean, height wise.
Yeah, he's still a runt of his group of his eighth grade class that's coming in. He has not grown yet. But my daughters are tall, and so he's just waiting for his growth spurt. So. But he shoots it, and he's got a very high IQ. I've ingrained in him at a very young age to always make the right play. So he's got a chance to be really good. So we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, no, he's still the runt. He hasn't grown much.
That's awesome, though. I can't wait. All right, that's going to be fun stuff. A couple more minutes here with Coach Brown. You know, Bakersfield Christian, I mentioned in my opener just – how you guys have just marched up the seedings, however you want to say it, the divisions in every sport. Football program went to the state championship, was undefeated in the regular season, Central Section Championship as well. So lots of good stuff happening down there at Bakersfield Christian. And obviously the Carr brothers down there doing great things as well. I'm curious, like, during football practice, do you have like an all-access pass down there? You get to try to grip it and rip it on the football field, and are the cars? They have an open invitation to your gym and can just grab basketballs off the rack and try to shoot.
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, I can go out to practice whenever I want. I got a great relationship with Darren, but I might poke my head out there every once in a while, but I try not to be a distraction. So most of the time when we're out there, I'm running the guys on the track while they're practicing. So and actually a couple of years ago, Darren called me and said that Derek said he could still dunk off vert. And I said, well, he is welcome in the nest whenever he wants. And I would love to be there for that. We haven't seen him yet, but, you know, Derek, you still have an open invitation to come show us that you can dunk off vert. You're welcome whenever you want. So, But no, I have a great relationship with Coach Carr. He's doing an amazing job. Every year he wins at a high level, you know, and kind of like what you said, we were all, you know, we started, the school started, and we were, you know, when I was an assistant in 2017, we were Division IV, you know, and football was around that same division. So just super proud of what we built at Bakersfield Christian as a whole and as a school. And, you know, we were in the league, in the South Sequoia League, playing McFarland and Wasco and Delano and Kennedy and all that stuff. And now we're playing Harvard, Westlake, Redondo, Union, Crespi, Santa Margarita. So just super proud of where we're at as a program. Want to continue to build this thing as long as I'm here. And, you know, just looking forward to, you know, every day giving the game of basketball everything I have.
And, yeah, it's absolutely evident what you've done there with the program. And, yeah, going from Division IV not that long ago to where you guys at competing for Central Section Championships and beyond. And he had that great run last year, too. We didn't even talk about that run in the SoCal playoffs. But doing a fantastic job down there, Coach Brown. Really appreciate you coming on. You still got Independence, Garces, and then at Centennial on February 7th to play. But thanks for jumping on. Appreciate you. And hope to run into you soon, maybe at Sound Arena.
Yes, sir. That'd be great. I'd love to see you on February 28th.
All right. Sounds great. All right. Have a great rest of your weekend. Talk to you soon.
All right, Paul. Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right. We're going to take a break. We got our final segment, Coach Admonson. Tony is here with McKay as well. Straight from little hoopsters down there, little Broncos, little Stampedes, whatever they call it down there at Clovis North. Excited to hear from them as well. You're listening to it on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Got Tony and McKay Admonson on the show right now. Leading scorer in school history. I saw that graphic a couple days ago. Congratulations on that. And then just had to get the Steelers record as well. Right? So good stuff, good stuff. Great game last night against Clovis High. You guys won 80-57 on the road. Great win, especially since Clovis beat Buchanan earlier in the week. Broncos are now 6-1 on in the track and 16-10 overall. All right. We got everything squared away. So, McKay, congratulations on that record.
Thank you.
Do you remember the bucket it was on?
Honestly, I do not remember the bucket it was on, but I know it was against Clovis West, and it felt amazing for sure.
That's cool. You guys came straight from – let me get this straight. So, Little Hoopsters, right, Vance started it, but you guys call it something different at Clovis North. What's the official title of your Saturday program?
Stampede Youth Basketball League, SYBL.
SYBL. You basically grow up in that?
Yeah.
Grew up in that gym.
Yeah. I mean, I started off because my dad was at Bullard when I was, like, really young. And so we would do running nights, like Little Knights Hoopsters. So I would do that when I was, like, really young. But for the most part, it was Stampede Youth Basketball League, yeah.
So you just came from that right now. What age group are you coaching?
Kindergarten and first.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Are they just, like, running around crazy, hanging on your knees, jumping on your back?
Yeah, they're a little crazy, but they have lots of fun, so it's good.
How high is the hoop?
7 feet?
Seven and a half feet.
So what's the funniest part or the funnest part, I guess, of coaching those little guys? What do you love about that?
I mean, I was just telling him in the car over here, like, there's this one kid that's just – he catches the ball and he just starts running off the court with it. I just think it's hilarious. They just have fun. You know, it's just great to see all the smiles on their faces and them just enjoying playing. And maybe they'll take it more serious later in life or, like, later when they get a little older. But it's good to just see them have fun when they're young.
They're 5 years old, McKay. Everything is fun for them. So the little guy just grabs the ball and he just runs.
It's not even just running. Like, he just runs off the court.
Yeah.
Like, he goes on a different court, so we have to go chase him down.
That's awesome. Tony, what do you love about that program still?
You know, the nice thing about Clovis Unified is we run a true feeder system, you know, and the opportunity to get in with the kids at a young age and teach them, you know, introduce the game of basketball. And then as they get more serious, like McKay said, you know, we recruit them to come out and play on our AAU teams for our Stampede AAU program. And so, you know, and the product of that is what we're going through right now. We have a lot of very high-skilled, high IQ basketball players on our varsity team that grew up in our system and grew up doing Little Hoopsters and SYBL and playing in our Stampede AAU program. And that's part of the reason why, you know, that plus talent, that's why they're so good now.
When you start really identifying them, like you and your coaches are constantly, hey, you know, this kid's okay. You know, is that how that works?
Yeah, our Stampede program, we recruit from Stampede Youth Basketball League starting in second grade because they could play up to third if they're good enough. And then, you know, obviously from third grade through eighth grade is our Stampede AAU program, and we try to get them to come to tryouts, and then we form our teams and go play in tournaments on the weekends, have two practices a week, and that's when it starts to get a little bit more serious.
Let's talk about last night's game. You guys played an excellent all-around basketball game, 80-57 over Clovis High. I believe you made 14 threes. That's kind of what I charted. Really forced the Cougars into some poor decisions. That's what you guys like to do defensively. Just kind of what worked in your mind, Tony, in that game plan to execution-wise?
Well, you know, defensively, we always want to try to make everything as tough as possible. You know, we really wanted to try to control their two playmakers, Sire and Anthony Smith. They're both, you know, very good at getting paint touches and creating shots for others, but also, you know, scoring on their own. And so, you know, that was a big emphasis, is making that tough for them. And then obviously being on all their shooters on the catch. But that first quarter, we didn't do a great job of it. And really for the entire game, they ended up going 9-for-18 from three, which is a phenomenal percentage from three, which is 50%. So we didn't do a great job of taking away the three, but I think the constant pressure, you know, just making everything difficult. We made them take some tough twos that they missed, which, you know, turned into fast breaks for us. And, you know, obviously the results were good for us.
24-21, you guys were up at the end of the first quarter. And there was a fun little stretch, right, as a fan, right, going back and forth with threes. And, you know, they hit some shots, as you mentioned, 9-of-18. McKay, what do you feel was really working for you guys on the court last night?
Last night, I think that defensive pressure, I mean, like you said, though, they shot a good percentage. They did make some tough shots. I feel like we contested fairly well. They did just make some tough shots, but we also gave them too many open looks. And I think offensively, we were definitely flowing. We scored 80 points. That's a lot for a high school game. So offensively, we were definitely flowing. We shot a good percentage from three as well. And I feel like everybody was finding each other, and offense was just flowing. Yeah,
not a lot of turnovers either.
No.
I'm just trying to go back in my mind, and you know, a lot of that is attested to you and your ball handling skills and knowing the system. Like, how important is that turnover game, right, in the high school game of basketball? Is like really keeping the turnovers down and forcing turnovers?
Yeah, for us, because of our skill and our basketball IQ, our kids do an amazing job. But it's a two-way street, right? It's the ball handler making good decisions, playing on 2 feet, but it's also his teammates being in the right spot so they're available. And we have rules within what we do, and our kids have good discipline to follow those rules so that you avoid those turnovers. And we analyze every turnover that we have in practice, every turnover that we have in game, because we know rebounding sometimes can be an issue, although we did a great job on the boards last night. We actually won that battle. But the turnover war has been pretty consistently won by us against every team that we play, and our kids do a great job of it.
When you speak of the rules, can you give me an example or two of a rule that you really try to hammer down to your team?
Yeah, well, we have relocations that we're supposed to do whenever there's any type of penetration. So people have certain spots that they have to move to. We have to have proper spacing. We don't want two guys standing right next to each other, because that's when one guy can guard two guys, and then things become more difficult to run good offense. The other big rule is playing off of 2 feet. You know, I think, you know, guys playing off of 1 foot, it just reduces your chances for successful plays, and you're always playing percentages in the game. You know, and then there's other little things that we call a freeze action or a kickback action. It has to be positive, meaning that the offensive player, your teammate, has to be above you before you can give them the ball. That's a big one, because if you don't, then they don't have that opportunity for a back cut if they overplay it, or if they do come up on the kick up, if you throw it too soon, it doesn't give you an advantage to get a paint touch. So those are some of the rules that we have.
That was amazing. My gosh, that was awesome. That was next level stuff, man. You're giving some knowledge to me. That's great. McKay, was that easy for you to figure all this out, or just different layers as you grew up in the system?
Yeah. I mean, I've been running this offense for as long as I can remember. So, I mean, it changed a little bit once I got into high school, because obviously we run more stuff like for the high school program than we do for AAU or middle school. Like, it keeps adding on as the years go on, but it was really easy to pick up once I got there. Yeah.
Tony, where would you assess the team right now? How are you guys playing the best basketball you've played? We got that big matchup against Buchanan that a lot of people are looking forward to next week. Where would you say the team's at right now?
Well, I always go back and compare stats to other teams that we've had, and, you know, scoring output, you know, shooting percentages, you know, having huddle and having all the access to all those stats are phenomenal. But you can kind of see, because now you have facts, right? You can kind of see where some of your weaknesses are. And, you know, at this point, we always want to play to our strengths, but we're always trying to work and get a little bit better in some of our weaker areas. And I think we've made some strides. I don't think we're where we need to be just yet, so there's still room to improve, which is great, which hopefully formulates to us peaking at the right time.
McKay, I want to go back to you becoming the school's leading scorer in history. You mentioned Clovis West is when it happened. Did you guys celebrate afterwards? Like, hey, I think I broke the record. Did you know exactly when that happened, or did you celebrate? What did that night look like?
Yeah, so we went. I kind of had an idea of it because one of our coaches kind of said something to me, but they were kind of trying to hide it until we went into our little room after the game. And then we started talking after the game in the weight room about the game and stuff. And then they announced at the end that I was the all-time leading scorer. And, yeah, everybody kind of went crazy. And then we all took a picture together and stuff. And I got to hold up my little paper with the amount of points that I had, took a picture with that. It was pretty cool. And then, yeah, I just got to – I think we went to dinner after, like, with some of the coaches and my family and stuff. So it was pretty fun.
That's fun. You're going to get a basketball? I mean, how are you going to – you got your piece of paper, but you got to have something else, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was Clovis West's basketball, so I don't think they were going to give it to me.
Where do you guys eat? Is there, like, a go-to place after games?
Fieldhouse. We always go to Fieldhouse, yeah. Right.
Good choice. So you beat brother – record, right?
It was Lucas. Connor had Lucas. It before right. Lucas, and then Lucas passed him, and then I passed Lucas.
So it went from Admonson to Jones, now back to Admonson.
Yeah.
All right. And hopefully it's going to stay there for a while. Tony, for you, as you know, a coach and then as a proud father, what does that mean to you that now McKay has that record?
It's cool. I mean, you know, those things are fun to look at and you know, it is good to keep those records so you know the history of our school and our basketball program. And there's been a lot of great players that have come through. So it's quite the honor for McKay to have that and very proud of him and his work ethic and how good of a player he's become.
Your work ethic has been unmatched. I mean, I remember watching videos of you dribbling the basketball when you were, I don't know, this high, and it's been a fun journey for a lot of people to watch. Has it been tough, though, McKay, at times, or there's been a moment where, you know, being a coach's kid, right, is like maybe an opposing crowd, right, maybe has some chance or said some things. Has that been, like, kind of a growing experience for you, or you just kind of brush it off, water off your back?
You know, I feel like I brush it off pretty well. I've been hearing it pretty much my entire life, like, oh, your dad's the coach, so you basically just get handed everything, which, I mean, obviously isn't true. I feel like he's pretty tough on me all the time about most things because he wants me to be a good player and a good person, I just brush it off. I'm used to it. I've been hearing it my whole life, so it's not anything new.
Was there advice, Tony, that you gave McKay or Connor about that, or How have you approached that?
I always tell the kids that when the opposing fans are on you like that, it's actually a compliment, because you're pretty important in their mind. So it means that you're a really good player and you've earned their respect, and they're trying to get to you, and you just have to be, you have to stay solid and focus on the team and what's important for the team, and just completely ignore it, and next play mentality, and just let's, okay, what's next? Give direction, be a leader, and focus on those things, and focus on winning. You know, what are we going to do to win this game?
Nothing like that, right? Win the basketball game, right? Yeah. Walk off the court a winner. McKay, has there been some times, maybe in the summer, where some teams have underestimated you or, like, challenged you and you smoked them? Maybe you hit a, you know, step back three or took it to the hole on them?
Yeah, I mean, I think we played I don't know if any team has really underestimated me. I mean, you can't really do any, like, you can't watch film for summer, really. I mean, you might know the player, but you don't get to, like, game plan for them necessarily in the summer or anything like that. But, I mean, in season, I feel like every team has game planned for me and Eli being the two main playmakers for our team. So I don't know if I've been underestimated necessarily, but I just make the right, I feel like I make the right reads, whether it's scoring or setting my teammates up, and whatever happens on the stat sheet happens on the stat sheet, and hopefully we just get the win.
What's been like one of your best memories so far playing for Clovis North?
It's got to be winning a section championship, right? Yeah. Against St. Joe's. Yeah, my sophomore year. That was awesome.
What sticks out to you? The locker room celebration afterwards, right? You think, yeah. What, Tony, you got doused, yeah. Right? With got surprised.
Yeah, they set me up.
They set you up on that one.
He knew it was coming, but he knew it was coming.
That's good stuff. What do you remember specifically about that game? Because when I talk about or think about some of the greatest games I've witnessed over the last 15 years of covering high school sports, that's a top. Heck, I might be like number one. That's like a top three at least for you moments as far as the game plan, the execution, all that stuff. Is there one specific moment besides maybe the celebration in the locker room, maybe on the court, you're like, dude, that was absolutely what we game planned for. It's what we wanted to do, and I saw it on the court.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, I think there was probably 30 seconds left. We were up by enough to where, like, I knew that we were going to win it. And I just go up to my brother, and I'm like, I start to get emotional, like I'm about to start crying. I'm like, oh my gosh, we really just won this! Like I was so happy, so hyped, and we still talk about it all the time. Like the emotion really just hit me, and it was really exciting.
Moments on the court with Connor, pretty special, right? Now you look back at it, like I knew it was a cool time, and playing on the same court with him. Like, just talk about how neat of an experience that was. Now that you're going to be a senior, you're going to move on and play college basketball. We're going to talk about that in just a second as well. And watching Connor doing great things at Dartmouth. But how special was that time with Dad, you, and Connor?
It was awesome. I mean, I it was probably my favorite year. It has to be. I mean, everybody on the team, we were all very together. And playing with them, I mean – the one year that all three of us were together, we won a section championship, which was awesome. And it's an experience that I'll never forget for sure.
So college, Idaho State, right? Just
yep.
Walk us through that experience of recruitment, why you eventually chose that school.
Yeah, so their head coach, Coach Looney, had seen some film on me. And last May, maybe before that, probably March, I got a call from him, and we talked for about 10 minutes, and then towards the end of the call, he offered me. That was my first offer, and it was great. I was super excited, and they ended up telling me that, like, I was their guy. They didn't want to recruit anybody else, and they didn't offer any other point guards, and honestly, that by itself just showed me how committed they were to me. And so I wanted to be committed to them too. So I decided it was the right place to go before I even went on my visit. I ended up going on my visit a couple weeks after committing, and I loved it too. So I already knew I liked the coaches and everything, and we saw their offense and stuff and how I'd fit into it, and everything looked pretty good.
I think the other recruit, if I'm not mistaken, is a 6'6", mm-hmm. right, guard.
Jovan.
That's
yeah.
Cool. Yeah, so I wanted to lead into that. So what type of offense are they running, and how do they see you fitting in the program?
I mean, they kind of let their guys play a good amount. They have really good bigs right now, too, this year. So they're feeding them a lot, but they also set a lot of ball screens. And I feel like they let their guys just play a little bit, make reads, which is kind of what we do. Obviously, we have dribble drive, so it's a little different. But for the most part, I feel like they let their guys go a little bit. They have like a set offense that they run, swing it, ball screens, screen away, just flowing, and just let them play. So I think I'll fit into that pretty well.
Awesome. Tony, is that how you see McKay fitting?
Yeah.
They, like the program?
It's called the swing offense, actually, and Looney's ran that for years. He's been a highly successful coach, and he had a lot of success with point guards. He's had some very, very good ones. One that just left Idaho State, Dylan Darling. He's at St. John's now, and I think he got like $1.2 million over at St. John's. So they had a really good point guard last year, and they have two good point guards this year. And I just felt that way, that Looney, you know, was going to help McKay grow as a player, as grow as a point guard. And then, you know, he's going to put him in a lot of ball screens in within the swing offense. And then they have a lot of other wrinkles that they add. They do a lot of DHOs and different things that a lot of the other colleges do, but it was a good fit offensively for sure. And I have a lot of faith in Coach Looney. I think he's going to be taken care of there and have a great career there.
What's the Admonson house going to look like?
It's going to be empty
next year.
It's crazy.
My gosh. Have you even let your mind go there yet or not?
I try not to. My wife especially, because she gets emotional all the time about it. But, I'm sure it'll be a lot of, okay, when's the next flight to, you know, Idaho or to Dartmouth to go watch them play live a few times if we can, you know, as much as we can.
The recruitment for your son and then for McKay, was that a fun experience for you? Was it a grind, right? You just hear different experiences. How were you guys able to navigate that?
You know, it's tough in the sense that you do kind of have to do your homework, and I think it was always a lot more about fit than anything else. You know, you don't want to get caught up in, oh, who gave you the best visit and that type of stuff. There's a lot more than just the visit when making a decision. You know, you got to look at the personnel that they have coming back, and, you know, although with the portal that kind of changes a lot anyway, so there's always going to be a little bit of an unknown there, but, you know, you're trying to factor all those things in and find the best fit.
McKay, what's like one of the goofiest things that you've ever experienced high school basketball? I'm thinking of one experience. I think we might have talked about this last time you were on the show. I don't know if you want to go there or not, but did you do something at a hotel for money once?
Oh, that's a good story right there. My freshman year, we were at the Damien, and I think it was the first night or the second. I think it was the first night. We had just finished our game, and we have like our team group chat, and someone texted in the team group chat, $300 to whoever comes and shaves their head right now, and I was like, all right, I'll do it. And so I go into the room, and we don't even have, like, it's not even a real, like, razor. It's just, like, I don't even know what it was, but it was not a good razor, and I was completely bald.
And you came out of the hotel room the next morning?
Yeah.
And yep. Mom, dad, right? Nobody had known about this.
No. He thought it was awesome. My mom, not so much. She was a little upset.
How long did it take to grow back?
Oh, having to like cut it too because it was growing weird, and like, so I kept having to cut it some more and get it right. But eventually, it grew back. So,
what'd you do with the $300? That's a lot of cash for a freshman.
You know, I didn't even really get paid my full $300.
Ooh.
I got paid. I got probably $150, but it was not the full $300 for sure.
So somebody still owes you some cash.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where did you get that sense of humor from, Tony? Right, that goofy part. You, Michelle, like, you're a pretty straightforward guy, Tony. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Where do you get that from?
You know, I think they all have that, and I don't know. I think they're just not afraid to live and have fun and not take too many things so seriously and just enjoy life. They've all had that. All three of my kids.
That's awesome. That's great. We've got a couple more minutes here with Tony and McKay. Seedings wise. Like, big game against Buchanan, right? We just let the games play out and see where you guys are at. Like, do you look at it a lot? Where do you guys see yourselves fit?
It's funny because my coaches talk about it incessantly, and I'm just too focused on the next game. I'm breaking down film. I'm trying to game plan, just taking them one game at a time, and then that all that stuff will work itself out.
So you got Central East, then the Buchanan game, and then you close with Clovis West, always your rivalry game. McKay, what have you loved over the years playing against Clovis West?
It's always a good environment playing against them, and I feel like I know those guys pretty well too, so it's just fun competing against them. I got to play AAU with Jace Kellogg over the summer, so that was pretty fun to play against him this year too. Good to compete against him. He's a really good point guard, and it's just always been a good environment playing against them. Yeah,
I agree, and that's home, right?
Yes, yeah, next one's home, yeah.
Okay, Tony, thanks for coming on again, for leaving the little guys over there at Clovis North. The guys that are grabbing the basketball, the 5-year-olds, and maybe that was you back in the day. I don't know, but now you are your senior year, leading scorer in school history, and it's been fun watching your journey. And Tony, as a dad and as a coach, I'm sure it's been great for you.
Oh, it's been awesome. Yep.
Good stuff.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Yeah, always enjoy catching up with you guys. Good luck the rest of the year.
Thank you.
All right. You bet. That's it. That is an absolute wrap. Exciting show. Thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate it. Thanks to Jorge back at the home base for producing the show. Coach Brad Rosnowski, Parker Spees, Garrett Brown, and Tony and McKay Admonson as well. Just a loaded show, man. Love talking hoops with you guys. Appreciate you guys as always. Have a great rest of the week, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.